All right, I'll call the meeting to order. This is a special meeting to look into the rolling strategic plan. We're all here, quorum present. Here we go. Mr. Bailey.
This on? We're going to maybe talk into a microphone.
That's my least favorite thing to do here.
Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
Okay, all right.
It helps you, I'll do it.
Okay, Mayor and Council, thank you for the opportunity to visit with you this morning about the development of a, what I'm calling a rolling strategic plan of the city of Fredericksburg. And we have Nick with us today.
This should sound very familiar to Nick.
He's a city attorney.
By the way, is his birthday?
Oh, happy birthday.
I'm so happy to spend it with you.
All right, yeah.
We'll have to end this with a happy birthday song, Nick.
Liar.
But as Nick very well knows, being the city attorney for the city of Vernon, they have developed a rolling strategic plan. This is with their city manager, linking a number of times about how they manage the plan. And I really like the way it works for them. I really like the way it works for their community. I will tell you before we get started here that I have looked at a lot of strategic plans over the last couple of years, and there are a lot of good ones out there. And the ones that really catch my eye are the ones with all of, you know, the photos and, you know, all of the visions that sound really good. You know, all of that, but I don't know how functional they really are. So, you know, as I've kind of prepared for this presentation and prepared for developing our own plan, I want something that works. I want something that works for the organization. I want something that works for the council. I want something that works for the community. So getting into rolling strategic plan. And Lady, let me get you to go between slides here if you don't mind. Otherwise, I'll forget. So this is basically a document that brings together a number of different plans and documents that the city has already completed. Brings all of those together into one plan. We have a lot of plans out there. When we first started talking about a strategic plan, we had not completed our comprehensive plan. Our comprehensive plan was adopted March 19th, 2024. The last time we talked about this was actually March 18th, 2024. As we talk about the benefits of this, I'm starting with this slide and I'm going to end with a similar slide. This is for the consistent, transparent development of annual community goals. We go through this goal setting every single year with the council. At the beginning of the budget process, those community goals and priorities, and our capital improvement plan, and all of these supporting master plans that we've completed is the roadmap for infrastructure. Improvements in different initiatives. We have a task list at the end of our comprehensive plan. Anyone know how many tasks are listed at the end of our comprehensive plan? Anyone?
10,000.
Anyone?
10,000.
Has anybody recently? So those are 77. The council said they were interested in possibly pursuing. But there were 134 individual tasks listed at the end of our comp plan. Does anyone know how many of those we've completed or we're currently have underway?
Zero.
So that is the problem. The council doesn't know how many they are or what they are necessarily if we're doing any of these things. I can tell you in terms of what we're doing, Cliff is doing a good job of actually referencing the comprehensive plan and everything he does on the planning side when he's not in front of P&Z, also with the council, but that's about the extent of it for now. So this plan brings all of those plans together. It establishes that consistent in what I'm calling a proper kickoff for our budget process.
improve progress warning Bernie does, something very similar to what I would like to do, and providing the council with a monthly update on our progress toward those projects and initiatives that you have approved as part of that budget process. When we update the strategic plan every year, stronger community communication. These are projects, the comprehensive plan born out of public input. These are projects that the community wants. The community will be updated in terms of our progress again toward completing them. And I would say probably the biggest thing in terms of benefit to the council and the community is consistency when we have turnover on council. And this is something that we've talked about when we talk about term limits. Having that consistent vision and direction, even when we have seats that change on the council, it's very difficult to maintain that direction. I really feel strongly that this document, this plan will establish and maintain that consistency. Okay, so moving on. I'm going to talk just a little bit about the 2024 comprehensive plan. When you look at this plan, it's really organized into three parts. You go through the document, we start with the vision. The second part is future direction and then implementation. Vision portion of this, for the strategic plan that we're talking about will be very similar to the comprehensive plan. The future direction we will borrow from very heavily for the strategic plan. A lot of the work that goes into the front end of the strategic plan has already been completed in the comprehensive plan. It is the implementation portion of the plan. When you look at the comprehensive plan, it's a little bit disjointed. Next slide. This is mainly for your background information so that you can read the vision that was included in the comprehensive plan. Next slide. The future direction, very similar in terms of taking the guiding principles that are included in the plan, that are on the right-hand side, turning those into objectives, and then taking action on those in terms of projects and initiatives. Again, going back to that list at the end of the plan. And then finally, implementation. So when you look at the implementation portion of the comprehensive plan, I really think this is why these plans are put on a shelf and nothing ever happens. When you read through this, it's not very clear how we should proceed through and implement all of the tasks in the comprehensive plan or any other plan for that matter. So the plan implementation includes development process. I think that's probably one of the only ways that we're utilizing the comp plan currently. And again, Cliff is doing a very good job of that. Plan to code relationship. We've talked a lot about the unified development code. That is the unified development code that we will kick off in the next couple of months, about a year and a half long process, probably a multi-year process. Master plans, I'll talk about our master plans here coming up. We do have a number of master plans, particularly in public works, that we have completed a lot of projects out of. They are the basis for our capital improvement plan. Monitoring and benchmarking, our comprehensive plan speaks to that. Again, it's not real clear exactly how we should monitor, update, and benchmark. Our annual budgeting process is also part of that. Our capital improvement plan. And our comprehensive plan is updated on a 5 to 10 year cycle. What I'm proposing is that the strategic plan be updated every year. Every year at the beginning of the year, during a strategic workshop of the council that may potentially involve other entities other than just the city council. So if you look at the next slide, these are all of the master plans that we have completed in the last decade, starting with the Grange master plan. All of these different master plans have projects that are prioritized and plugged into our overall capital improvement plan. I'll point to the water, wastewater, reclaimed water master plan. Since the adoption or completion of that plan in 2018, we've invested, Chris helped me out, $35 million in water infrastructure, all identified in that plan. We have a parks and rec master plan, again, our comprehensive plan recently completed. And probably we'll have our unified development code will be part of this completed in the 2027 timeframe.
Glenn, on the drainage master plan and the transportation master plan, I'd really like to see the county, more involvement from the county in those two items, and even possibly the parks and recreation master plan. I think especially on the drainage master plan, we've seen that through the Holmick Lane discussions lately. So I think if we can involve them in those three items, I think as a community, we'll be in a better position.
Right. Don't disagree with you on that.
I think we've got getting some help county on water, but the other two, I don't know if that conversation.
Right.
Unified Development Code, define that a little bit more.
You want to speak to that?
Sure. So the Unified Development Code, I think probably the easiest way for me to explain exactly what it is to say what it's not. It's not a standalone subdivision regulation ordinance. It's not a standalone zoning ordinance. It's not a standalone ordinance that addresses development, but a consolidation of them all. So what we're going to look to do is streamline the processes through the UDC and make it very clear in how the process works here in the city and how we regulate development as we move forward. So really what it is, it's a combination of all of those ordinances that affect growth and development that makes us more efficient and clear in how we're moving forward. So it's a consistency issue as well. We just want to be, we want to make sure we ensure all of our ordinances are enforced, but we want to make it efficient and more consistent.
So there are codes that we need to revise, review, and
yeah, that's the beauty of the process. With the RFQ, one of the tasks of the consultants is going to be to help use their expertise to help us identify our deficiencies so we can refine our codes and ordinances to make them work. And I think I've said it several times, probably the best example I can give of a code that really needs a cleanup is our zoning ordinance, right? The old zoning ordinances, they're constructed in, you know, in the 70s, 80s. And they have their traditional, what we call Euclidean land use actions, where you separate incompatible uses through buffering, landscaping, whatever it may be. What I mean there is you have a residential next to a commercial. You have an underlying zoning that has an intensity that you put a use in there, then you separate it. I think what the UDC will allow us to do is address through the years from prior actions the inconsistencies that come with those types of ordinances. A lot of times you'll have zoning ordinance amendments. They happen for one of two reasons traditionally. Either you need to accommodate something or something, quite honestly, is not something that you want in your community. So it gives us an opportunity to clean that up.
So again, we have a lot of these master plans. A lot of them are on the shelf. I don't believe the council is instantly familiar with any of them. As I get into some of the special meetings that we'll have after the first year, really one of those very first meetings is just a real high-level overview of every single master plan that we've completed, all of the projects that are listed within that plan. We'll discuss the ones that have already been completed, talk about funding, capacity to fund these projects moving forward, and how those relate to the council's community goals and priorities. So, you know, some of the very first meetings that we're developing the plan, we'll talk a lot about that. Getting into the next slide, the organization of the plan is just gives you an idea of what this might look like, chapter by chapter. Again, we're not reinventing the comprehensive plan with this. We're borrowing a lot from that plan in terms of the very beginning, introduction, and purpose of this plan and how it relates to other plans. Community demographics, again, borrowing heavily from that document. I would say the main portion of the front end of this plan that the council will be involved in. Again, we'll update every year is that community goals and how those relate to guiding principles that are listed in the actual comprehensive plan. This is something that we try to establish every single year. I don't think we do a real good job in demonstrating how those community goals and those community priorities translate into items that the council finally approves in the budget in September. We set these goals. It's really hard to show how we've made those direct ties to a lot of the things that are included in the budget. I want to change that and make sure that every task that we have listed is related to the goals and vision that the council establishes at the beginning of the year for the budget process. Going through chapter by chapter again, these are just going to be the master plans included in a single document. The updates to these master plans will also be included as an amendment to this plan, starting with the capital improvement plan. This is updated every year. This is actually populated by a lot of the master plan and master plan updates that we do. Going through the comprehensive plan, our direct master plan, again, path to the future document is something that some council members feel maybe worthy of including in this overall document. There's a lot of information there. It's not very well organized, but speaking to whether that should be included in this or not, our wastewater master plan, our transportation master plan, I think it's going to be an important one and something that we've been talking about on and off for the last 5+ years are all of the transportation projects, short term, kind of those medium term projects that we've been unable to get a lot of traction on. Master drainage plan, and then finally, an overall master action item list. And I have printed the first page out of Bernie's plan for you here. You can just take one, make sure council gets a copy of that. This will just give you an idea of how this might be organized. So, in addition to the 134 tasks at the end of the comprehensive plan, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 million in projects in our capital improvement plan that includes an additional probably 200 to 300 projects that are identified in all of these master plans. So, basically, what you'll be able to do, and this isn't meant for you to be able to read what the projects are and the projects and so forth, but it is just for the organization. You can see when you turn this very clearly, and we hope to be able to manage this in digital format. The next slide, I'll let Krista go through an OpenGov module that we're talking about. If you can take one look at this and you can find your project on this list and see the status, whether it has been started or not, whether it's been completed, budget status, and so forth. So every single thing that we do, whether it's a project, piece of equipment, a new employee, an initiative, whatever the case may be, it's included on this list. Prioritized list. That is established in priority order by the council at the beginning of every year.
Would you get that?
Council, is there anybody who was involved in the 2018 path of the future plan? Were you?
I was.
You were?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Okay. A little bit. Business subcommittee.
Okay. Then correct me if I'm incorrect. when I ran again in 2022, I picked that out as something that we ought to pay more attention to, and the council should be more direct about it and so forth. The perception was that it was a large community-based group of people who
came up and said, this is what we think are the priorities of the town, and these are the things that we should protect, and so on and so forth. Where it was deficient, in my view, as I've read it several times, is that like many strategic plans have had a lot of wishful thinking in it that were not realistic and that had not been vetted by, for example, there's a lot in there about working with the county. We want to make sure we do blah, 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 blah with the county, but like most strategic plans, it doesn't have any role for accountability, who's going to do it, and the timeline. Now, I'm not saying that that's the people's fault who participated.
Right.
They may have been, I wasn't part of it. They may have been advised. We want you all to just tell us the things and we'll write them down, and then we will carry it to the city council, and they will decide implementation methods. Is that probably what happened? Okay. But then, when I started checking with some of the community leaders, there was some disagreement about whether that was even something we ought to pursue. So I perceived then as it was a community effort, sort of a town hall. Well, if we had the opportunity, let's do this. And not really marching orders, because there was nothing to grab hold of. I'm being general. There was little to grab hold of to make that meaningful. Do I have the correct perception of that plan in your view?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would. Your town hall analogy is perfect. It was like a year-long town hall.
Yeah.
And everybody's wishes and thoughts and desires were thrown into the document.
Right. And there were some good things in it.
There were great things in it. There was a lot about child care and the lack of child care. But who was going to do that? Well, private companies were going to do that, not council, not county. And child care sort of took care of itself, or is taking care of itself. Yeah.
Since you were involved in that, was the expectation, do you think, in general, that we want to say this is the town we would love to live in, but we think there are other people to implement this? We hope the council will like appoint a child care czar or something. Is that what the expectation probably was?
I think you nailed it.
So my quibble might be, I think it probably ought to be included because it's got some stuff in it. But the implementation was woefully inadequate, or the recommendations for implementation.
I think it's a lot like the comp plan. Like if you look at the guiding principles,
I think we're supposed to speak in the mic. Are we being recorded?
You know, if you look at these guiding principles, it's similar to the path to the future. Mm-hmm. The vision. Yes. Same thing. We have guiding principles at the beginning, but school is going to take them on.
Yeah.
I would say in reviewing it, it is community-wide. So I'm looking at, like, one of the needs was the dyslexia therapy. Well, that's not a city council thing. So if we put it into this plan, is it worth the time it would take to parse out everything that is actually a city scope action for a document that was done nearly 10 years ago? That's my thought.
What do you think?
I don't disagree with what you're saying. Again, that's one other plan that's out there on the shelf. This is the plan.
We need to run.
You have your medication.
Oh, wax makes it.
That is quite a tone for a while.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Just because that plan is included here doesn't mean that all of the action items included will need to be done as part of the plan. This task list, again, at the end of the priority order is where the accountability comes in. So you can see this top row of projects. You can go directly to the page where that project was studied and justified as part of the master plan, and you made this a priority as part of the update this year. If that 2018 document is included, it's included for nothing more than
background and information.
But do you think that the inclusion sort of reduces the efficacy of the document? In other words, we're just going to include it in case we want to find some stuff there, rather than this is where we're going.
I think it could because the master plans are very specific.
Yeah. So my recommendation would be to leave that out.
Gotcha. And we can certainly do that.
My question is the document dated? I mean, it's 8 years old. It's 8 years old. Do we need to do a refresh on a document similar to that?
I would completely agree. You have to think of how much changed with the pandemic. So there was a lot about affordable housing in Path to the Future, and there's some in comprehensive plan, but they're disjointed because literally the economy changed. And what we were looking at affordable housing in 2016-17 is completely different than what we're looking at right now.
And I'd also say that our demographics are so much different today than they were in 2018.
Are you recommending to take the Path of the Future and update it? No, or to just
not reference it?
Okay. Yes. This is what I'm saying, Bobby, because I think that the things that are worthy of extension can be in these other discussions and plans. And I think it muddies the water because of its datedness and because of its the method is there was no method for implementation.
Right.
So it's a good idea document, but that's it.
Yeah.
I really think the comprehensive plan took the place of that document. It took all of the ideas that were being discussed and it consolidated those into, you know, a formal document that was the result of community input over a long period
right.
of time.
And I really appreciate all the time and effort.
I'm
just saying for our purposes
right.
now.
That's right.
Okay.
We're on the master plan advisory committee. Comp plan advisory committee. And very similar asks, but it has accountability, right?
There's accountability. There's a person that's responsible for each action item, which is very helpful.
I recommend Emily be on that whole list.
Okay, sure.
ditto.
Again, so imagine starting the year, knowing you're going to be sitting in this room for about 4 hours, and we're going to be talking about all of the projects and how they relate to each master plan.
It'll be a long process, but it's really the way that council can be most familiar with understanding the priorities and why they're priorities and why they're being considered for the budget.
Well, let me make another broad comment about this. I think strategic plans are brilliant. I think that, I mean, the idea of a strategic plan is great, especially when you have an election every year and you could have new people sitting at the dais every year. Most of these, as I read them, like your capital improvement, comprehensive, parks and rec, water, wastewater, et cetera, are very deeply embedded in in-house opportunity management. This is what your people do, your department heads do, and so forth. And we, the council, then looks at and approves the budgeting and that sort of thing. But none of us has the experience to drop down below the surface level, right, of what a wastewater master plan would be or a capital improvement plan and so forth, because that's y'all's job. So what would you recommend that the council do to be better support? Because you made the point when you said how many items are at the end of the comprehensive plan. None of you sort of knew, but I knew there was 100 and something. But and how many of them have been acted on? I have no idea because I don't look at that plan every day or every month or every 6 months. I think it's something that cities should do. It's what cities should do to be able to authorize zoning, et cetera. Oh, I'm talking too long. What does the council need to do better to support that?
Well, I think you just need to have a better understanding of each one of those plans and why we're doing it. You approve the budget at the end of the year. You approve any kind of rate increases to support budgets that have projects that are included in master plans. And if your question on the street why your utility bill, why your water bill is going up 10%, I want you to have a better understanding of really the basis for how these projects were prioritized and why they're included to begin with.
Okay.
So just being more familiar really helps us in understanding how to say comprehensively.
Are you saying then prior to us dealing with a specific issue in a plan, that we should be broadly aware of what's in it and the impact of its on electricity and so forth? Because that's asking a lot of council.
I would say just very broadly, yes. We would typically present to the council our capital improvement plan, for instance. But what was missing from that is the basis for all of those projects that go into the capital improvement plan that the council approves as part of the budget process and is funded as part of the budget process.
Well, where I have benefited, and this is the way I work, but I realize I'm a short timer, but where I've worked is that when something comes up that requires council involvement, we get good backstory treatment about why this is the way it is, what it appears in the plan. This has been our schedule. This has been the funding problems, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the action we need you to take, and here's the background for you to do that. That's plenty for me. And I don't know if that's the way the other council people work. But that's plenty for me. Is that sufficient, I guess, is my question.
Well, I'll take a little bit beyond council even. I think that it would also really help staff in terms of a coordinated effort, in terms of the overall budget process, and working with the council. Again, the council establishes those goals. Those projects come out of those goals and community priorities. I would take it even a step further for members of the community who are becoming more involved. We have a number of people with us today. They would be able to turn to this single document and see every single master plan. They can see the council's community priorities, the vision. We update this every single year. They can see every single, there might be 400 tasks at the end of this. They can see all of the ones that are being included for consideration in the budget this year, and they can see all of the other ones in one single place. They don't have to get on our website and go to Public Works and search Transportation Master Plan and go to the end and look at a list of projects. They don't have to do any of that, all in one place, all questions answered. So I think it helps staff, I think it would help council, and I know it would help the community understand better what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do that.
And I think the multi-year, the rolling strategic plan would be very helpful. I think our staff is incredible. Y'all can move mountains. Y'all do a whole lot with very little. But it comes like really granular. There's a certain road that needs to be improved or, you know, something on the side. And then a resident will complain about it. And then we ask, and it's, well, that's lower down on the priority list. But if we can also show, oh, Avenue A is going to be fixed, you know, in 28, that's on the, you know, just showing that it's coming, because our budget is just year by year. And so it's always just whatever's most urgent. But then if we could prioritize these things and then show,
okay,
hey, that's a 3-year or that's a 5-year, you know, not super, super urgent. So
what I'm hearing is that this strategic plan then enables the council to stay aware as you would prefer.
Yes,
and as is most helpful to staff. Got
for
it.
Whoever would like to learn more about a project or an initiative, where it came from, what the cost is.
But I'm specifically referring to council. Yeah.
And on a budgeting side, some people say that the budget is a wish list of everything that we want, but would it take it from a wish list to a needs list based on the strategic plan?
Well, yes, in a way. And I have a video link behind you, I think that might help answer that question about how this would directly relate to the budget process and the strategic initiatives that we have included in the budget process.
Chris, do you want to? I wanted to recognize Cliff. He wanted to say something. Okay. Oh, no, I was just listening to your conversation, and I think that everybody's hitting it on the head. Quentin's hit it on the head. I think from a staff standpoint, specifically with the comprehensive plan, I think the purpose of the strategic plan is the accountability of staff to make sure we're following the guidance of that plan. I think what a lot of people don't understand, people assume the comprehensive plan itself is a policy document. It is not. It is a policy guiding document with those implementations that need to take place. And it is our responsibility to bring to you the policy documents, whatever it may be, to implement that plan and then come back and report it to you that we're meeting the goals of that plan, right? Because we're trying to implement the vision of the community through the policy documents at that point.
And my big question is this, and Emily, you can help me with this because you've mentioned this before. In the better world of council governance, should we be looking at those 134 things? And we should be saying on a routine basis, this I'd like to see more done. This I'd like to see more done. Help me how I can push this forward, that sort of thing. Okay. So I've been deficient.
Well, it's a lot of moving pieces. And there's lots of plans, but that's why this is so important.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Gather it, make us prioritize.
Okay. Krista, did you have that?
I've got plenty of notes. I think let's go ahead and watch the video first, and then I can go over a couple of lines.
Just one more thing, and I hate to say this just right up front, but when you look at the outline for this plan and the 11 chapters, we're 95% complete. We just have to put this together. And Emily's right. This takes every plan that we have, and it puts it in one place. It puts every single task in the same place. It is the go-to document. That is a summary of all of the other master plans that we've completed. That's all it is. And it is that accountability. It is that transparency. It is that organization, I think, that helps us in seeing that comprehensive plan every single year is the reason it will not be forgotten about. For Parks and Rec master plan. And we tried to resurrect that during the budget process earlier this year, and it went kind of by the wayside. So it will be right back up front and center again for you to look at and consider some projects out of next year and the year after that and the year after that. Priorities change, funding changes, community input, opportunities change. Everything's in one place.
You want to wait till the video?
I'll just let me go ahead and just open up one. Is Aaron gonna?
Left
faster. Okay.
So we've
been working with OpenGov now. We're going into our fourth year. We've come a long way with our budgeting, using OpenGov and the worksheets, being more transparent, having the dashboards available. Well, one other piece that OpenGov offers is the strategic planning. And if we can build those strategic plans into OpenGov, when department heads get into their budget worksheets every year, they'll be able to click a drop-down and tie specific line items of their budget to the strategic goals. And then we'll be able to run reports on the progress of those. So I think it'll be very helpful. Just before we hit the video, I've got lots of things I've been reading about, but I'll share a couple of these with you, and I can send these to you in an email. So a strategic plan is more than a financial tool. It's very important for budgeting. It's a roadmap that aligns budgeting decisions with the city's long-term vision and community priorities. In today's environment of limited resources and grown demands, cities cannot afford to rely on reactive budgeting. Instead, we need structured, forward-thinking that ensures every dollar spent delivers measurable value. So if we can go ahead and play this video, and then I've got a couple other notes to share. This is short, and this is shared to us from OpenGov.
Just mute it.
Mm-hmm. Are we trying to get the audio going?
Okay.
Passing through.
create a strategy for a new audiovisual system.
We have one.
Oh, yes. We're there.
Yeah, they're coming. That's in February.
27.
Perfect. You won't. Sorry, you won't see it.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's October. It's October.
December 26th.
Can you do like a
while we're waiting on that, George, did you have a couple of comments you wanted to make? Okay, go ahead.
Mike, I appreciate you letting me talk. One thing I would ask, ask yourselves, are there any plans that are missing? In other words, this pulls things together we have, and what areas may not already be there, but you could say part of strategic planning or this or that. It might be a way to, you might consider something like a community assessment plan, some way to gauge the health of the entire community, residents, visitors, medical, school, you know, kind of how people feel about living here and, you know, with some real metrics associated. What is important for the person on College Street, for example, or what's important to the kids going to school or going to go to school, to development, or just looking at it from the constituents side of things, but also people outside our community, how they view us, how do the decisions that we make or the planning we make affect other communities around us. So I would just label that a community plan or whatever. And then the last thing is it's great to have a tool. I did, you know, work for NASA. I did all these detailed plans and schedules and everything. And you as a council don't have time to assess, to do the assessment. You need to pay him to provide you the assessment of the current status, not just the current status, but he has to tell you what is he worried about, what's behind, what's going on with an assessment of that. So you don't have to spend all your dollars and your precious time that you're being paid for to do the assessment yourself. Paying him and his staff to assess and tell you where you should pay attention to things, and that should be a part of your monthly status.
So I do think there is something that is potentially missing and could be included.
Yes.
I think there are a couple of things that could be included in terms of plans, and that is the EDC strategic plan that is developed each year. And then I don't know if the CBP also has an annual strategic plan, but that might also be included as part of this one. And how that relates to your vision for the community.
Go ahead. Yep.
Without action and just wishful thinking, turn your plan into real community outcomes with OpenGov's budgeting and planning suite. Using OpenGov, governments have the tools to run an end-to-end strategic planning cycle that acts as a system of record for managing your strategic plan year over year. Let's start with building your plan. Using OpenGov Strategic Initiatives module, you can set your community's priorities, the strategies you need to implement, and the initiatives you are taking to drive results. Initiate action on your plan by incorporating your strategic initiatives seamlessly into your budget process. Every one of OpenGov's unlimited budget worksheets can be used to tie a specific goal, strategy, or initiative to a specific part of your personnel, capital, and operating budgets. OpenGov's out-of-the-box budget reporting tools track progress on funding your initiatives so you can make changes in real time throughout your budget creation process. Easily customize existing reports to highlight the data most important to you without needing IT's involvement. Once you've created and budgeted your strategic plan, the task of overseeing your plan's success is streamlined with OpenGov's performance management solutions. Bring in any key performance data and operational metrics to track progress towards your initiatives and take corrective action if needed. Integrate, submit, harvest, or upload data from all of your departments and databases directly into OpenGov to measure your impact on the community. Equip all members of your operation, from council members and executives, all the way down to frontline workers, with the data they need to drive community outcomes. Your performance management is not done in a silo. At any step of your process, leverage OpenGov to engage your community. Use OpenGov Stories, an infinitely customizable drag-and-click transparency tool to keep the whole community informed on the progress and success of your strategic program. With OpenGov community feedback, drive up to a six-fold increase in community participation to define your plan, prioritize the initiatives, and measure the outcomes as you iterate your plan from year to year. Turn your strategic plan into real community outcomes. With OpenGov, you get a full end-to-end strategic planning solution to drive your initiatives from conception to execution, powering more effective and accountable government. To learn more, visit opengov.com.
This tool is already available.
Yes. So we're already paying for this. This is included in what we have. So they have upgraded the performance management, and I do think there's going to be an additional cost for that. But we can do most of this with what we already are paying for.
I built a strategic plan using my check. And it just pulled randomly and said, Windcrest is first. And you have different things that it was making. It doesn't take a whole lot. I love the reporting aspect in terms of.
In terms of being able to report on, roadway miles improved, storage capacity of water increased, those kind of things that we can report on after every year, after we've done or haven't done anything.
Right.
And this is a bonus that we're already paying for it, and we don't have to allocate anything additional.
The last comment I had was also. There is a community engagement tool built into this as well. So if we did want to go back out for more input from the community, we could use that and then bounce off that to go with our strategic goals. So basically what you were saying, Emily, earlier about, just aligning our goals and our plans. So the alignment prevents our short-term pressures, things that we might feel that need immediate attention. If we have goals in place, we can make sure we're prioritizing, our longer-term goals over some of our short-term pressures.
So. I believe that this is all that I wanted to share with you. But if you look at our budget book right now, we have all the pieces. It's just, this will help us connect them all. So, okay.
Mick, I hate to put you on the spot, but would you mind just speaking from your perspective about how this works for city of Ernie?
Well, I'm glad you asked that.
Hang on.
Sorry.
On record.
This tool right here, let me just start with this. When Ben Thatcher became the city manager 4 or 5 years ago, I guess he was assistant city manager in Southlake, and they apparently had developed over a period of years similar tools. I know they've used some other legacy systems. I don't know about OpenGov, but other stuff. And so it probably could have been several months to bring the city staff into this, develop this. But everybody was really excited about it because, kind of like we've done here, we had a whole bunch of different
plans and everything. Some of them were old, some of them were new. And we had just gone through building our first UDC there at the same time, January City Hall. All the senior staff were very excited about it. And this tool was developed almost right away to summarize all the ongoing tasks and projects that were going at that time. The way this is developed this is color-coded to show the status of items, so it's pretty easy to see. I mean, this particular version is hard to read, but these colors are taken forward in everything. Like, someone does that for every city council meeting of what's going on, what's upcoming. Well, those would be color-coded in Bernie, so that you can tell where they are on the progress chart. And so when an item goes before city council, even by an ordinance or resolution, it's tied back in the AIS information, in the information sheet, and also on the slides to this chart. So you can keep up fairly easily as you track through your work, you're automatically getting updated. So meetings with the staff tie into this chart as well. It's really a great tool for the city manager, really. That's just my observation. He's able to show everybody where they are on the accountability chart as well. So it's just a great organizational tool. It looks complicated when you look at this, but what it actually does is simplify everything and make it easier to grasp information quicker. Because you know the way we do it now, you still don't have to do it. If you ask questions, oh, what did we do? I can't remember about this. Well, this is this takes three steps out of that process. I'm a big fan of it. I've seen similar things used. We had a similar system in Amarillo. I don't think it was quite as good as this one. So I think it's a great idea. And once we're able to merge all the planning into one tool, like Clinton was talking about, all of your color-coded project lists and how things fit into the strategic plan becomes really second nature for senior staff, and then it's great information for the council.
That's what I was trying to say. Okay. Attorneys and engineers. Thank you, Mick.
So moving on, I've just put together a timeline through April on what a series of meetings would look like. And I'm not really going to get into this in terms of details. We'll continue to mold and shape this. But a big part of what council will be doing is right up front. I want to get you familiar, just very high level. Again, rewinding on our comprehensive plan. Giving a very high-level overview of each master plan, the projects that are included in those master plans, what has been completed, what is a priority and is coming up. I want to do a refresh on the council's goals and priorities, community goals and priorities, consolidate that so that we can begin working again on the front end of this document. Moving through to a final draft that you would see in April, we'll be talking a lot about how those community priorities and goals tie directly into the projects and initiatives that we're considering as part of the budget process. And those are the items that will go on this list and that accountability that we'll report to the council every month on our progress. That's where that comes from. So again, at the very beginning, getting familiar, starting to work on the front end of this document, more of the introduction side, and then really getting into tying your community priorities to projects, initiatives, and those goals, building that capital improvement plan in this priority task list that we'll refer to for the development of the budget process, and then we'll report back to you every single council meeting.
Emily, I've heard you speak marvelously about the strategic plan need and how we need to move forward on this and so forth. Would you mind giving me some general comments about where should we go from here? What would you like to see?
Well, I was going to ask Clinton. So I know this is a little bit more legwork because we're establishing it for the first time, but what is the schedule going to be like January, December, or October, September, going forward, whenever it's complete?
Sure. You go to the very last slide. This will give you an idea of the starting point. So in January, February timeframe, like we do just about every year, we will update the project status list. So all the projects that were completed in the previous fiscal year, we'll provide you with a status update on all of those. You'll be able to see all those right up front. We'll do that update on council community goals and priorities. We will look at what our sales tax is doing. We'll look at what our water revenues are doing, our electric revenues are doing, hot tax, all of our revenues, to see how much room we have for projects that are master planned and anything else that you might want to consider that ties into those community goals. This will be the official kickoff to the annual budget process. And we've talked for a long time about trying to start this in the January timeframe so that we're not hitting you with everything and asking you to make decisions starting in May and June for a budget that's adopted in September. So the idea would be that we can get at the very beginning of the year in front of the council. You have plenty of time, no pressure to talk about your goals. We can talk about the projects. We can start assembling this list of priorities over a several month period before we sit down and actually get into the actual budget process where we're talking about dollars and cents related to accomplishing everything on this list. So this is just the addition and the big piece, in my opinion, that's missing right up front to set the stage for the entire budget process. That's it. And this is the piece that allows us to report back to you and makes us accountable to those goals that you establish every year. And it's not just me. It's every single staff person, as Meg mentioned. I can use this every single week to get progress updates on everything that staff is doing related to a project, goal, and initiative.
What staff training needs to be done beforehand so that we can begin this?
Right. We're all going to be doing this with you. OpenGov will be part of it. This is actually not that much different than the way we currently operate in a lot of ways with our capital improvement plan. Some of our departments are very project intensive, understand completely how this works. I would say mainly public works and parks department. But that will be part of the overall process is getting staff involved and understanding. But I think that'll be the simpler part of this. I don't think that will take more than the next couple of months to do that.
Systems are only good as if they're actually being used. So
I think that would be pretty simple.
What I'm hearing is that there's some new tools to be applied for better understanding lead time information and plan implementation. Where are we deficient? What does that fix?
It just gets everything in one place. It gets everything on one list. It is the
It is the source document for all of the information you need to look at the status of a project, see the full justification for that project, see what the council's goals and priorities are, and that is refreshed every single year. This document will be updated and approved by the council by resolution every year.
And it puts it in front of you at all times.
And if you have a new council member coming in or two, I can hand this document to them and ask them to read it from the front to the end, and they will have a much better understanding of why we're doing what we're doing, why we're talking about what we're talking about, particular issue that the community has raised. They will likely find it somewhere in this document. So I think it is the best primer for a new council member coming on board that you have.
Even for an older council member.
Well, let me just ask the question. Bobby, have you read our master variance? Are you familiar with that?
I've seen it. But I've got it.
Do you know where to go to get it?
It's somewhere in my desk.
Okay.
And it's on the website. But no, I'm not that familiar with it.
But that's my point, Glenn, is what if we've all read it? Are we to retain it and it becomes part of a conversation all the time? In other words, I've felt like that I've been brilliantly supported by staff when we've had major issues to discuss. Here's why we're doing this. Here are the issues. Here are the circumstances we have to deal with. We have some new circumstances that were different, are different now that we've had the plan in place. And so here's what we need, because I'm always asking you, what do you need from council? I'm not saying that's the most efficient way, and I like people who are more detail-oriented and like efficient planning. I think it's great for the city. What I'm asking, though, is that's what I'm trying to get to you. Where are we deficient, or where am I deficient in keeping up with all of those things? I'm not going to read the transportation plan. I'm going to say to you, and maybe I should, but I'm going to say, hey, Clinton, what's pertinent about the transportation plan that we have to deal with in the next 6 months? Is that not okay? Or am I missing something?
To answer something you asked earlier about being an expert on these plans, we need to have a general knowledge. And yes, we do rely on staff, but so much of what we do, it's not political. We're not giving away free puppies to everybody. It's funding a bridge, you know, so it's not glamorous stuff, but you've got to be able to know what constraints we have financially instead of just saying, yes, fix all the roads right now, make everyone happy. Well, we don't have the funding for that, you know, so it's bringing everything together in a place where we're all talking the same language instead of it being consultant this, staff this, you know, everything. It's in one place, same system.
I think it helps us be proactive and not reactive.
I would agree with
and
that.
I don't say that super negatively that that's all we do is react, 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 but technically we react on an agenda item to an applicant and what staff brings us. That's what we're doing. We're reacting to it with lots of knowledge, a ton of knowledge, because we have excellent staff. But this allows us to be proactive. Like if you said at the bottom of the agenda, as you said, mentioned the visioning path to a future chapter, and now it refers back to the comprehensive plan. This flips that on the other side so that we're looking at those documents, or can, if we want to, ahead of time.
Okay. It would help me and staff probably more than it might possibly help you.
I'm all in.
Yeah.
For my 5 months.
Quite honestly, it's just a way for us to get very organized.
Right. And that's really the germ of my question, is how can we better serve the staff to be efficient and do all the things you need.
And I think having everything in one location, one document, will help us be better council people. And we can easily refer to it instead of always going back to staff and doing things. And we might have something on our list, a priority. Well, it's already here. It's just not in the queue yet. And
we just need to
bring it up.
Yeah.
Let's find the money to pay for it.
This brings everything right back to the surface every single year. All the things that are have been collecting dust for years on the shelf, this brings it right back to the surface every year.
Also point out, Clinch, this particular program ties into budget.
It ties to the budget. That we...
This is the starting point for the budget process.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we only have to have one budget meeting?
No.
Yeah, it's 8 hours.
I argue that we need to go back to the 30 budget meetings we used to have.
Well, if you're awake for all of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I think this makes the budget process a lot simpler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think MovinGov is a broadly used tool. They may have access to things that are changing outside of, say, in the legal area or legislative or threats that are coming. And if they're part of this tool that allows you to look ahead and possibly anticipate threats, legislative change, or some other external.
Anybody answer that?
Apply for a charge, there would be, but I don't think that's addressed in this software. Yeah. We just suggest.
In the meantime, I never hear anybody asking me on the street, what's the transportation plan? What's a drainage plan? What's your capital improvement plan? But I do hear people say there are too many people on Main Street drinking. There's some guy making everybody uncomfortable on marked lots, preaching to us when we're trying to watch the Christmas lights. We're losing our German culture. Why can't we do more for our heritage sites? Why can't retail expand? Are we losing credibility as a destination because of lower retail profit support? So that's where council is to be wise and knowledgeable and so forth as well. So what you're talking about is the nuts and bolts of running a city, but the culture, community, character thing is what they come to me about. I'm sure they do you too. I'm not saying that there's one better than the other. I'm just saying that is there a way we can improve that? Is that something that, are we doing okay?
Everybody gets hit with something different. And when it comes to the culture that you're talking about,
right.
Somebody has your ear because of this and that. To me, our primary responsibility is to ensure that we fund all the projects, all the staff, all the things that we need to do to keep our city operating. And if we have a lousy water system or a lousy road system or trash gets picked up every once a month, those are some real serious problems that affect the overall future of our town. And if we don't take care of those annually on a daily basis, we won't have all the other, we won't have the tourism, we won't have issues that we're having to deal with because we are very popular. And
so you're making the priority argument.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, what I might think is great about this town, somebody else might think, there's alcohol on Main Street. Well, yes, but there has been for 150, 175 years.
But Bobby, I'm just saying that those people, they associate the council with those issues.
A lot of those issues we can't control.
Okay, but that's still something that has to be communicated.
Right.
Yeah.
Send them to all your congressmen. Different government.
Yeah. But
send them to convention district.
Send them to CBB.
It's their fault.
Now that they're gone.
No, they're right behind you.
I did have one more thing. We do have a couple of individuals from our last Fredericksburg Assistant University class here taking time out of their day to listen to this conversation. Chelsea, would you like to, as the spokesperson, talk about why you're here and kind of the idea that this group, your class is going to
like, if you will, so we have a historic record.
My name is Chelsea Scott. I'm with PD Family Grants. I served on right and joined the Citizens University this year after doing leadership lessons in county last year. Lawrence Smith was on that class with me, if you know Lawrence, you could do just about anything. This year we talked about our class project. And so our class project is to set up the class project for the continual years of the Citizens University. And then we decided what would be great is to come up with a class project that the university as a whole, as a group of about 20, will look at the strategic list that you all are going to set and pick something that will be their class project. So their first or second session, they'll be exposed to that list. As a group, they'll pick and decide what they want to do. And over the course of the year of the class, they will work on it, bring awareness to it, advocate for it, bring in volunteers from the community, from previous Citizens University classes, and hopefully at the end they've accomplished something that, again, Citizens have asked for. So that's why I'm here, just to learn a little bit more about the process so that we can
Good.
The creation of an art board is a potential project for a future class. You know, if the council wanted to pursue that, we could get the class members to do all the research and put that together so they could get more involved, and it would save a little bit more time for staff to do other things.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a way to get them involved.
So yeah, love it. Love it. Love that.
That's all I have.
Have we been presented the download today?
Yes, sir.
Are we doing these, are they special meetings in January, February, March, April?
They will be special meetings. And I did not assign a date. I'll have to get with everyone on schedule. But the idea was to complete this by the end of April.
Can you give us updates, or not updates, homework basically, so like before the January meeting, give us enough time, do we know what
will this January be meeting we meet over there?
Probably right back here
somewhere in this building.
Yeah.
Is that in the strategic plan? Is that of a timeline? Who's accountable for that?
But Todd is our resident builder.
Before I adjourn, is anything else? I want to thank everybody for your morning's participation and giving your time to the city of Fredericksburg. We are adjourned.